just to be near, to feel His presence. I have a longing in my heart for Him.
Amen. Longing for Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Maybe seated for a moment. Happy to be here today.
Amen.
And, you know, God is a spirit.
Amen.
And he said, come unto me. Right? He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. He is meek and lowly. His spirit is a sweet spirit. It's a lowly spirit. It's a humble spirit. And yet, He's Almighty God. What a paradox. What a strange thing for us to experience this great God. The God of creation. And, you know, my heart is heavy this week because a friend of mine, a good friend at work, his name is Reese Barefoot, his daughter, I was at her funeral on Friday, and she was 22 years old, and, you know, seemingly from the outside, she had everything going for her. She was in a Christian family, in a loving family, and Reese is a good man. And from what I understand about his family, you know, he had a close family. So she was at college, and she was taking architecture. And her brother had a wonderful testimony about her life. I don't know how he got through it, but he did a great job. And she was a beautiful young woman. She, you know, her appearance was very beautiful. He said, Jade was her name. She was beautiful, and she made beautiful things. She would, if you saw her work, her designs and architecture, and fifth year architecture student, and so, but she had been struggling, and she had been in counseling about just, I don't know, different things. It sounded like she had a hard time growing up, which a lot of people do, and she took her own life on, I guess it was on a Sunday, and just devastating to her parents and to everybody that knew her. And it hit me too, because I know Reese, and I know what he's like, and he called me, and because we're kind of close, and he just shared all the details that he knew, and, you know, and he was struggling, and I could see he was struggling. You know, who wouldn't be struggling? And he told me about an incident that happened to her. I thought it was that weekend, but after the son told the story, I think it was maybe just a couple weeks before, that she was walking across the campus, and she stumbled upon this group of people in an athletic field who were just playing games, and they pulled her in, and it was a young Christian group. And so she even called, I think, her mother, and was like laughing just at these people, you know, they're crazy people playing in a field. Well, one of the young men in that group, Reese found out later, because the young man contacted the son, but he talked to Jade, and he asked, how is it between you and the Lord? And she said, well, I've been struggling. And not feeling that close. And that young man walked her through, and she rededicated her life to Christ just 2 weeks before this happened. So Reese is on the phone with me struggling. He says, John, if that happened, why did this happen? And I said, Reese, listen, you know, people get confused. But that which happened was real to her, and I would hold on to that. Hold on to that, and because that's gold. I don't believe God would turn her away because she got confused. I don't believe that. See, and life is not about what we do. It's about what we believe. Amen. It's about what we believe in what he's done for us. And, you know, it's very sad to think people get to the place where they feel there's no hope anymore, where they feel their only option is to end it all. And, you know, but there is hope. There's hope in Christ. And we need to be the kind of people that can give hope to others. And if you're here today and you're struggling, there is hope. And what you need to realize is sometimes, unknown to us, we put glasses on where we can't see things are going to get better. People look through glasses and all they see is something bad. And they can't see how it'll ever get better. But see, what we need to realize is if those glasses can come off and we can see clearly, we'll see that there's more than hope. God can change any circumstance. He can change our lives just like that. And, you know, you can ask, why would this happen? Why would that happen? See, we're not really here to understand everything about it. I said to Reese, listen, if I was you, I'd hold on to that and say that God gave that to you to know that you'll see her again. And when I saw him at the funeral, he said that helped him and his wife. And, you know, I just ask you to pray for Reese Barefoot is his name. Reese Barefoot and his family. And, you know, life can just seem so hard sometimes. You know, I can admit, even myself, looking back at all the years, it's been 30 years since the Lord touched me and changed me. And, you know, life really wasn't hard until I became a Christian. You know, when I first became a Christian, people would say, you used to be so happy-go-lucky, and now you're so serious. And I said, well, life is serious. Amen. You know, there is a God and there is a devil. It's so obvious when a young person, somebody, any person takes their life that a devil just wants to destroy us, and we don't want to let that happen. We are going to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. And we are not going to give ourselves over to his power to control us and destroy us, because that's what he's trying to do. But Christ came to give us life, more abundant life. And that's what I want us all to receive from him, is a more abundant life. There's more for us. And anyway, I forget what I was going to say, but when I just in my own life, looking back, there were times when I thought, it looks so dark everywhere I look. It looks like there's no hope for things to change. It looks like everything is bad and everything is bad. But it's amazing how he can make a way where there is no way. And I want to encourage you to don't believe that what you see and what you think with your mind today is the way it's always going to be. God can make things better. Amen. And it's that faith that he can make it better that opens the door. Just believe that there is a God. He is mindful of us. And he can make a way where there is no way. And if there is somebody really struggling, see, obviously Reese didn't know his daughter was struggling like that. He would have never left her. He was with her that week before, and he thought everything was okay. And, you know, he would have never left her. you know, if he would have known. But, you know, so sometimes we're standing right next to somebody and we don't realize that they're internalizing so much pain that we're not all prophets. We can't all discern people's thoughts and hearts. And so I would encourage you, if you're feeling really bad, reach out to somebody you can trust. And if you need me, I'm here anytime for anybody. I said, Reese, he said, John, I want to be able to call you. I said, you can call me anytime, any day. And I feel that way about everyone that's here. Anytime you need somebody, I'm here. I don't know if I can help you, but I'll do everything I can to help you. Let's all stand. I appreciated the song Tim sang, Such Love. I was kneeling in my office just to help you understand how God helps us sometimes. And I was praying, and I wanted to sing that song, and Tim started singing that song. You know, that to me, that helps me. I don't know how God touches you sometimes, but when you need something, he's a mystery, I know.
Amen. Hallelujah.
But I love him. Because he knows where we are, and he knows exactly where we are. And so appreciated that. So let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. I had shared with Reese towards the end of the chapter, and then I started reading the whole chapter, and that's when I stumbled across these verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 9, but let's pray once again before we read from his word. Heavenly Father, Lord, I count it such a privilege and an honor to call you Father, and to look back and to realize that one day you touched me and you changed me, and you took somebody that was nothing, Lord, and I always still feel that I'm nothing. But Lord, if you can use us, we ask you that you use us, Lord. And I'm so grateful for all the experiences you give me, Lord, with you yourself. And Lord, I ask that you give us another experience today. As we read your word, may your spirit fall upon us. And may you quicken the word to us. And may it bring life. May you set the captives free. May you break the chains of the devil. Lord, destroy the work of the enemy today in each and every one of our lives. Bless the reading of your word now. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 4, verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. You may be seated. God bless you. That ye increase more and more. You know, people want to increase in many areas in life, but Paul's encouraging them to what? To increase more in the love of God. And I want to talk about that today because, to me, God is love. And what we need more than anything is his life in us. And if he is love, when his life is in us, his love is in us. And that's different than human love, and it's actually much higher than human love, which human love is very powerful, and we'll talk about that today. But so I shared with Reese 1 Thessalonians 4:13. I just want to read the end of this chapter, Amber, if you have that, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Verse 13, And Reese had asked me, he said, John, could you send me a scripture or something? You know, text it to me. And can you imagine how he's hurting today? See, this is what's bothering me. I couldn't sleep last night thinking he's still in pain today. See, if you have a trial in life, sometimes if you have an argument with somebody or you have a problem or you failed a test or, you know, there's a lot of things you can get through. But once you lose somebody like that, that's different. The pain that he had before, he's still feeling that pain today. And he may never recover from that. How do you recover from that? So I just keep thinking about him, and I'm asking you to please pray for him. Help him, Lord, and his family. So I shared with him this scripture, and in my heart, I believe that God did something for that young girl and that he will see her again. That's what I believe. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do you believe that?
Amen.
I believe that. Amen. He died and rose again. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. Praise God. And I just hope and pray that Reese is finding comfort in his faith in Christ. And I said, Reese, remember this. You don't keep your faith, it keeps you. In times like this, it keeps you. What you really believe, when you go into hard trials and you go into real sorrow, what happens is what you really believe comes out. Amen. You know, people go through life and they pretend this and pretend that, and they have all kinds of show. But listen, when things get really bad, what you really believe comes out.
Amen.
So, and that's what's coming out now. And he seemed to be holding on to that faith. So, but this scripture that I read earlier in the chapter that I shared with you, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. I love that. That grabbed me. Ye yourselves, but as touching brotherly love, there's no need that I write unto you, because ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. You're taught of God to love. I love that. You know, to think about people that are being taught by God. He's the greatest teacher there is.
Amen.
See? And so Paul said, there's no need for me to write about this subject. It's completely covered by the Holy Ghost, the love of God. Anyone who has the Holy Spirit is being taught by God.
Amen.
In other words, you can't have the Holy Spirit and not be taught by God. The Holy Spirit is a great teacher. And yes, sometimes we go to Bible studies and we go to churches, and sometimes there's ministries that are teaching ministries. But the greatest teacher is the Holy Ghost in you, dealing with you, teaching you through not just his word, but through life, the lessons of life. And so this was very striking to me that Paul saw no need to teach this subject again. It's such a fundamental teaching of the Holy Ghost, and the Thessalonians were manifesting this love. You can see he says that there. He says, and indeed ye do it toward all brethren which are in Macedonia, and we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Increase more and more. So many people today want to increase in their wealth, and they spend a lot of time trying to increase their wealth. So many people want to increase their knowledge. You know, and that's that can be a good thing if it has the right priorities. But, you know, increase their knowledge. People want to increase their knowledge of the Word of God. But Paul was asking that they increase more and more in the love of God. That's where we need to increase the most. Some people want to increase in their beauty. They want to be more beautiful to the world. Some people want to increase their health, which that's a good thing. I'm trying to increase my health, you know, right? That's a good thing to try and be healthy. Some people want to increase their fame, their power. You know, you think about, and I'm not picking on our president. We'll pray for him, right? But he already had enough money. But why did he want to be president? He thought maybe he could do a better job than everybody else. But some people just want more power. You know, you think about the people in politics and why do they do what they do? They want to be in control. They want to be in power. But Paul wanted us to increase in another area, in the love of God. And I think that should be a priority in our lives, that we are taught of God, that we let Him teach us how to increase in the love of God, in brotherly love. This is not just a side issue. I've met so many brothers around the message that treat the love of God like, well, that's just, you know, some kind of, you know. See, God is so great, He makes Himself so little. And the great things in God look little. They look very humble. But they're the greatest things in God. You can have all the knowledge of the Word of God and have nothing. But if you have love, real love, that makes everything else work right. Without it, we have nothing. So it's not just a side issue. It's a cornerstone. It's a fundamental issue. And you could gain all wealth, knowledge, power, fame, and have nothing in the end. Oh God, give us that love. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13. What is real love? You know, we know this, but I think we need to be reminded of it. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. This is a very familiar chapter, but very important, I believe, for us to remember. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, let me stop there. A lot of people would do anything to speak with tongues. They want that. Why do they want that? Why do people want to speak with tongues? So they can say, I spoke with tongues. I got it. Whole denominations are based on, if you speak in tongues, you got it. Well, we found out people could speak in tongues and not have it. Devils speak in tongues. Witch doctors speak in tongues. So we know. And, you know, we've had access to a prophetic ministry that looked into people's lives, and he saw one man speak in tongues, another one prophesied, exactly correct, but because he had discernment, he looked into their lives. One man was a real Christian, the other one was living in adultery. See, just because you speak in tongues, don't mean you're right with God. It don't mean you got the Holy Ghost. So, but many people, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. It's just noise. Doesn't mean anything. Why do people want it so bad? We should not focus on the gifts, but the giver. Focus on the giver of the gifts. See, when you focus on gifts, I question motives. What's your motives? We need to look at our motives. If people looked at their motives, they wouldn't chase the things they're chasing. Because then they'd be taught of God. No, that's not what you chase. Come unto me, he said. Come to me. Let me have that. Let me fight that battle. He gives gifts to whom he will. You know, there's no pride in having a gift of God because he gave it to you. There's no pride in having a revelation more than somebody else because he gave it to you. Well, I have faith, but he gave you faith. But I'm saved. Well, he saved you. There's no pride in Christianity. Christianity, real Christianity, the result should be appreciation. Recognizing he paid it all. He did it all. It's all about him. It's not about me. It's about him. And though I have the gift of prophecy, how many people would love to have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries? Oh my. We live in an age, everybody wants to understand it all. And it seems to me everybody understands hardly anything. Because they got their priorities messed up. People want to go around and debate and argue and tell people, you're wrong, I'm right. And I'm thinking, you're wrong too, because just look at you. Amen. When we want to win an argument, we're wrong right at the beginning. How about winning a soul? Amen. Step back a little bit. When you want to win a soul to Christ, you don't need to win the argument. You don't care about the argument. You let them win the argument. How about Brother Branham? That's right, brother. The guy said, you don't know your Bible. That's right, brother, but I know the author real well. He didn't want to argue about it. Praise the Lord. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. How many want that today? Amen. Oh, give me the power of the spoken word. Yes, Lord, give it to me. I'm the one. Give it to me. He's like, no way. I ain't giving it to you. See, it's the one that wants to be out front is the one that you're concerned about. You know, for me, it's the preacher that wants to preach. He's the one I'm worried about. Right? The one that thinks they know it all. The one that thinks they got it all figured out. No, I don't believe that. God help us. Though I could remove all mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. So you could have faith to remove mountains. You could understand all the mysteries. You could speak in tongues. You could prophesy. You could have all these things and be nothing. Wait a minute, Brother John. If I have that, then I'm something. No, you can have that and not have charity. Gifts and callings are without repentance. Just because God has a gift. There's many people in Hollywood with gifts from God. They're not using them the way he intended, though. All right, praise the Lord. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You mean you could give away all your goods? You could give your body to be burned and it wouldn't profit you anything? If you have not charity, it profiteth nothing. How important is the love of God? How important is it to really have his love in us, and that it increases more and more? It's more important than we realize. And again, one of the reasons why people don't realize, it's so humble. I've always said this about God's love, because his love is unconditional, and it looks like it'll be trampled on. It looks like it won't work, but it's the only thing that will work. God's way looks like it's well, we're not doing anything. Trusting in God is not doing anything. That's a false idea. Faith in God, that's how we overcome. Praise the Lord. But I got to do something. Well, that's your problem. You can't get out of the way of God. He's a great warrior. How long would it take him to do it? We get in the way of God. Our God is a warrior God. What battles does he lose? We got to get out of the way. He's not going to share his glory with you. He's not going to share his glory. It's like the Baptist woman that said to me years ago, she says, oh, there's this guy that died. I wanted to save him so bad. I'm like, how could you save him? I knew what she meant. She, you know, she wanted to witness to him and she wanted to get into Christ. But her attitude is, I want to save him. There's one Savior. Amen. The Lord our God is one. Amen. Besides me, there is no Savior. Amen. We don't save people. We point. Amen. point to the Savior. Amen. So that's all the things that you can have that if you don't have charity. Let's look at verse 4. What is love? What is God's love? Charity suffereth long. What does that mean? Patience. Oh Lord. Suffereth long. Long suffering. Patience. God's love is patient. Now many of us can say, but I'm not. And that's true. We're not patient, but God is. His love is. His love in us, if we increase more and more in that, what's going to happen to our patience? We'll be more patient. His love will cause us to be more patient with others. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Kindness goes a long way. We should be kind one to another. The sad part is when we are not even kind one to another. The sad part is when we're not even kind to our closest people closest to us. God's love is kind. Listen, if Jesus physically came to you in your life, do you think he would be unkind to you? Do you think he would be unfair to you? I wouldn't expect that from him. Why? Because we've encountered his Spirit. And God is a Spirit. And when the fullness of that Spirit was in Christ, what was he like as a human being in that human role? Say, but he overturned the tables of the money changers and he yelled at the Pharisees. Listen, but he was very patient with the sinners. He was very kind to the sinners. Why is it reversed today? Where Christians are mean and unkind to sinners, but they tolerate religious self-righteousness like, oh yeah, that's okay because that's religious. Help us, Lord. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth, we long to be like him. He was kind. If you're not kind, you're not like him. If I'm not kind, I'm not like him. Right? And we're all guilty of that. Charity envieth not. You know, envy's a horrible thing. I mean, when you put it like that, envy, when you say the word envy, nobody wants to be that. I'm not that. But see, it has to do with something deep down. Jealousy. See, they killed him because they were jealous of him. You know, sometimes Christians don't admit it. It's not on the surface, but deep down they're jealous of somebody else who's doing well with the Lord. God's blessed their life. And they're jealous of that. Charity envieth not. You know what charity will do when you see somebody else blessed? You'll rejoice with them.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You'll say, praise God. Bless them even more, Lord. Amen. If you want a blessing, ask God's blessings on somebody else.
Amen.
Don't be jealous. That's immature. That's childlike. Jealousy is not of God. Envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Vaunteth. Pushing yourself. You know, how much that's exalted in the world we live in. Push yourself out. Push your idea. Push it out in front, right? Get your way. But charity vaunteth not itself. What does that mean? Charity often takes a back seat and lets others who have not charity, push their way. No, that can't be right. That can't be God. You can't let evil do this and evil that. Listen, people aren't getting away with anything. God's in control.
Amen.
Right? Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. You know, one of the worst things you see on somebody is when they're all puffed up in themselves, right? They're so thoroughly thrilled with themselves that they delight in the brilliance of themselves. They love to hear themselves talk. How come you don't see the brilliance of their idea? Do you ever meet people like that? They're puffed up. They're offended that you don't agree with their opinion. It's not charity. Charity's not all puffed up in self. Charity's patient. Charity will listen to what someone else will say and consider, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they are right. Oh God, help us to see. Pride. God hates a proud look. He hates a proud look. He hates that. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Think about that. You know, sometimes we behave unseemly, don't we? Sometimes we just don't care and we get out of order. We get out of line and we don't care. But charity doth not behave itself unseemly. What is charity? Charity leads to humility. Humility doesn't push itself out in front of other people. Lord, let me increase in the love of God. Let me increase in charity. Listen, if you feel corrected today, well, praise God. Because you can't feel corrected unless the Holy Ghost lets you feel corrected. But we should want to be more like Him and not like ourselves. Well, this is the way I am. How many times has that thought overruled real charity? This is the way I am. I was born this way, and I'm obnoxious, and I'm always going to be obnoxious. Come on. Where's the Christianity in that? He took our place. He died that we could live. Don't we want to be like Him? And not like self, and not like family and heritage and tradition. Praise the Lord. Seeketh not her own. Again, pushing self. When I see God's love, okay, if I can catch a glimpse of God's love, I don't see any selfishness there. None. Look at His life. He gave His life. He spent His life for others. So when you're seeking your own and you're vaunting yourself and you're puffed up, and that's not God. That's that flesh. So I don't care. That's the way I am. Listen, if you yield to that, it's going to produce bad things. But if you yield to the Holy Ghost, it'll produce great things. Wonderful things. Is not easily provoked. Listen, let's face the facts. When we are easily provoked, that's not charity. When we are easily offended, that's not charity. That's flesh. That's just the way I am. Well, pray that God will change you. Because that's not God. Don't ever think that's God, that you get offended at the least little thing. You know, some people get offended by others and the other people don't know nothing about it because the other people didn't do anything wrong. There's something wrong with that person that got offended. Oh no, they offended me. Charity is not easily provoked. In other words, charity, it's hard to provoke charity. It's hard to offend somebody thoroughly, completely filled with the love of God. You know why? Because they already forgave you. Amen. They already decided to forgive. People that are easily provoked, they're not so sure if they're going to forgive. But somebody filled with the Holy Ghost says, I'm going to forgive everybody that tries to offend me today. And the worst offenders get the most prayer from me. It's a different way of thinking. Charity. I want that. I want that. I want to increase in that love. Because that is life. All the selfish manifestations we see in this world, that's a perversion of life. He is life. I want his life to have preeminence in me. And the more he has preeminence in me and you, you know, the happier we're going to be. That's where joy unspeakable comes from.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise Lord. John, teach us some mystery, Brother John. I am. Just so humble that you don't realize it.
Amen.
Rejoiceth. Oh, I love this. Thinketh no evil. Charity thinketh no evil. So when you spend your whole day thinking evil, that's not charity. Listen, the farmer said he couldn't stop the birds from flying over, but he could sure stop them from building a nest. We can't stop the evil thoughts of the devil. Listen, that young girl that took her life, there was a devil that put that thought in her mind. There was a demon that put the thought of taking her own life in her mind. And what happened? She stopped to listen to it. We know that's wrong. That's not God. It's actually selfish to take your own life. It's unbelief that God can't make a difference. He can. He will. My faith says, even if everything looks bleak, God can change it. All things are possible with God. Even though I look at myself and I hate myself, I hate everything I've done, I'm miserable, but God can change me. He is changing me. It's the devil that wants me to destroy others and self. And I push that thought out of my mind. You know, you think, there's many times I've had thoughts, just run away. Just run away. Brother John, you never think like that. You would not believe the thoughts that come to me. That's why I know he doesn't just pick on me. Picks on you too. And it's, you know when we're the most vulnerable? When we're the most hurt and we're pitying ourselves. He doesn't say, "Oh." He goes, "Get him." That's when they're most vulnerable, when they're having the pity party. Because he can get you to listen to reasoning. He can get you to do things you wouldn't do when you're thinking straight, when you're thinking sensible. Emotion can be a bad thing. That's why we shouldn't make major decisions while we're all caught up in emotion. Let's think soberly, the Bible said. Let's have a sound mind. I believe Christ gives us a sound mind. And a sound mind pushes away thinking evil thoughts of ourselves and others and pushes it out. No. You know, when you're feeling worst about yourself, the devil's really good at jumping and piling on, okay? And don't try to argue with him to say, that, no, I'm pretty good, because you're not. We're not. See, so what he'll do is say, "You're no good. Just end it all. Forget it."
Amen.
Say, "Devil, you're right. I'm no good. But he is wonderful."
Amen.
Let's look at Calvary a little bit, devil. Come on over here to this thought. The perfect one gave his life for me.
Amen.
How about that, devil? He'll go, "Oh, I got to go somewhere else." He gave his life for us. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. I was praying about it and I started thinking, you know, God is infinite, right? He had billions and trillions and eons in a bond years to think about the plan of salvation. And at one point somewhere, as he thought about it, before he ever spoke the world into existence, before there was an angel, before way back in the mind of God, he thought about giving men free will. And he saw men making the wrong choice. And he saw the penalty of sin. And he said, I'll go. I'll take the penalty. I'll pay the price. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. How could somebody belittle that scripture? That's not the Holy Ghost. God so loved us that he came. When I think about that, it just caught me. I thought, way before, way back there, he said, I'll show them love. I'll show them love. I'll die for them. And the only thing they need to do is look and live. That's love. That's love. I want that love in me. And when that love's in me, I'll be selfless. I will live my life for others. I will reach out to those that are in need. Not, I won't just love those that got it all figured out and they're doing well. No, I'll reach out to those that are down and out. I'll reach out to those that are irritating. I'll reach out to those that are wrong. What a God. To die for sinners. You know, he saw something we don't see every day. He sees different than we see. I want his eyesight. I want to trade in my human, selfish, carnal mind for the mind of God that looks beyond people's surface and sees their needs. That's love. That's love. Praise God. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Rejoiceth in the truth. Listen, whenever you rejoice in something bad happened, you know you're wrong right there. Whenever even your enemy, when something bad happens to an enemy in your life, someone persecuting you, you won't rejoice in that. I had a recent circumstance where somebody I work with who was maybe not always doing the right thing, they were fired. I felt bad. I don't feel good. It doesn't make me feel good because there's a human there and they may make mistakes and they may do the wrong things. But listen, it doesn't make me happy to see somebody suffer. And if it makes you happy to see somebody suffer, there's something wrong. There's no love of God there. Help us, Lord. Hopeth all things, believeth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. What is that saying? Listen, God's love is strong. It looks humble, but it's strong. It beareth. It believeth. It hopes. It endures. We need his love. We need his love. Charity never faileth. Well, there you go right there. We fail, but he can't. When we humble ourselves and let Jesus come in, you won't fail. To the carnal mind, it may look like failure. Listen, Calvary looked like a failure on the outside. But the truth of it was the greatest thing that could have ever happened to mankind was somebody giving up their life. Sometimes when we're called to a trial or situation where we have to lay down our pride, we have to humble ourselves, we have to endure humiliation, sometimes we don't want to do it. That's understandable. But the thought that says, if I humble myself, the devil's going to get one over on me, that's wrong. Look at Calvary. Did the devil get one over on? Jesus got one over on the devil. If the devil knew what Calvary would have produced, he would have never let one drop of blood touch the ground. He doesn't understand. All he knows in himself is to steal, kill, and destroy. But he has limits, and God allows trials in our life for a purpose. And the answer is to humble ourselves to God. Not to be all puffed up and to fight in a human way. Let's fight God's way. It looks like it won't work, but it's the only thing that'll work. I've experienced it. To me, it's the greatest lesson that God has taught me in the last 10, 15 years. Is get out of the way. Get out of the way. You can't do it anyway. You know that. Everything you ever tried to do is going to, it just got worse. But if you let me have control, I'm a warrior God. Yes, Lord. And once you step out of the way and you watch him go to work, you're like, that's my God. That's my God. My God is God. Someone tries to pick on you, you're going, oh, don't pick on me. That would be bad for you. Don't mess here. I know I'm nothing. I know I got failings and faults, but my God is a big God.
Amen. Praise the living Lord.
He's a big God. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, I got like tons of pages here, and I'm not getting anywhere. Praise the Lord Jesus. Charity never fails. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, what is that which is perfect?
Amen.
It's the word, brother.
Hallelujah.
It's my false interpretation of the message of the hour. That's which is perfect. And if you don't accept it, you're out. We've heard it all, haven't we? Love is that which is perfect. Charity. The Spirit of God having preeminence in a mortal human being. That's which is perfect. That's what he's working on. Sure, we're going to have all the counterfeits and everything trying to distract you. Don't let it distract you. Stay focused. Increase in the love of God. When that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall we, for we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Praise God. You know, Paul saw the love of God being manifested in Thessalonians, but do we see that kind of love today? So much of what we see is selfishness and wrong motives, religiousness that's self-righteous. But where is that which is pure? Where is it? There's a scripture I'm going to read. I don't think I gave us the answer. 1 Timothy 1:5, just one verse. It says, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. The end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned. Charity. Out of a pure heart. So if your heart's wrong and your motives are wrong, your objectives are wrong, it's not going to be the same. Charity out of a pure heart. Lord, give us a pure heart. Lord, change our hearts.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I'm going to... Lord, help me today. I never forget, Brother Green said something I never forgot. He says, the preacher's the only one that knows what he left out. You know? Well, sure, God knows that. But for homework, I want you to read 1 John chapter 4. You know, it talks about love. God is love. How can you say you love God and hate your brother?
Amen.
That's not God's love. Amen. I love God, but I hate him. And Brother Green used to say, he was my pastor for a while, and I learned a lot from him. He said, some people say, well, I love him, but I don't want nothing to do with him. He said, that's not love. That's passive hatred.
Amen.
Oh, God, help us.
Amen.
That's not love. That's passive hatred. See, if we don't want nothing to do with somebody, there's an area for us to work on to increase in the love of God. And what we got to do, if there's that kind of person in your life that just irritates you and rubs you the wrong way, and maybe they are wrong, don't let bitterness come into your heart. You take that person in prayer and you present them to Almighty God. And you ask God's blessings on them. And you ask God to let you love them. You can admit that, Lord, I'm really struggling. I remember years ago, there was someone that you don't know, and I had an incident in my life and really bad, attack, and somebody outside church, and I was really troubled by it. Somebody had lied about me at work, and it just bothered me. I couldn't sleep. I was wrestling with this thing, and I didn't get any peace until I got on my knees. And I took the whole thing to Jesus. I said, Lord, you know that was a lie. I'm struggling with all these feelings. And just to talk it over with him and to lay it down with him, he said, I see everything. What are you worried about? And I left it to him. And it left. And I laid down and slept like a baby. See, we toss and turn. We're fighting in ourselves. Don't do that. Take it to him. He has the answer. He is the answer. When you hold bitterness, you're hurting yourself. And maybe somebody was really wrong. Doesn't help you to hold it. Lord, help me forgive. Listen, perfect love is tied to forgiveness. You cannot have perfect love without forgiveness. God is love and he forgives every day.
Amen.
How do you know he forgives every day? Because I go to him every day. And he promised if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. And I believe God keeps his word. But his love that is unconditional, his love that is a choice and not based on feelings, his love is tied into his forgiveness. And if you want the love of God, you need to embrace a forgiving heart.
Amen.
Embrace, be overly forgiving. Oh no, we can't do that. People will take advantage. There we go again. No faith that God's in control. No faith that God saw. Did you ever have somebody say something to you that was wrong, and instead of reacting, you just went, Lord, you saw that. Okay, I'll leave that with you. Thanks. That's better. It's better than, I'm going to fight. I'm going to be angry. I'm going to be offended. Lord, give that one to you. Thank you. Be the blessed is he that's not offended in me. That could mean a lot of things, right? I'm taking it to say, you grow in the love of God, you can't be offended. You get to the place where you love everybody. No matter who they are, no matter what they've done, you love them anyway. That doesn't mean you love what they do. That doesn't mean you love the evil spirit on them, but you love that soul.
Amen.
And you're praying for them.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. I want that kind of love. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. Now, can you imagine the torment that this young lady was in? That was the devil. That was so clearly the devil. There is a devil. There are demon spirits. And when fear gets on you, you can be sure it's not God. There is a reverence to God. There's a positive kind of fear that has a fear of God and a reverence to God. But the evil kind of fear from the devil is filled with unbelief and torment. The reverence fear for God is just a holy awe of God. You recognize He's God and I'm not. He could take me out if He wants to. But the fear of circumstance and, oh, what the devil's going to do, that's not of God. Perfect love casts that out. Because perfect love trusts Him. No matter what comes your way, you trust Him. No matter what circumstance I'm in, and I realize many of us have very difficult circumstances to deal with. And all of us, we don't really know what everybody else is going through. And I recognize that as an individual, you can be in such a great trial and nobody else knows about it. Who does a pastor talk to? Another pastor. Commiserate. Yeah, I remember Brother Adams, a good friend of mine, I called him when I was in a deep trial, and he said, John, fast and pray. The devil's trying to destroy. You know, and that was the right answer. But there's no human weapons here. The weapons of our warfare, though, are mighty through God to the tearing down of strongholds. And where are the strongholds? In your mind. Praise the Lord. Don't give in to fear. It's not of God. Help us, Lord Jesus. God's love's not based on how good we are. He chose to love us. Now listen, we're talking about the love of God. He chose to love us when? While we were yet sinners. Let's look at that scripture, Amber. Romans 5, verse 6. Romans 5, 6. For when we were yet without strength, not when we were strong, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He gave His life for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What that says to me, He didn't wait till I was good. He didn't wait till I agreed with He was right. But in my condition of being ungodly sinner, He chose to love me. I'm going to love you. Unconditionally. That is supernatural. I do not expect any human being to be able to love that way without God living inside them. How can you love unconditionally without God living inside you? Without faith that God's in control? You can't do it. It's always based on conditions. Well, when you get good, I'll love you. When you agree with me, then I'll love you. That's human. That's some humans that aren't Christians love better than that. When we were without strength, while we were yet sinners, God chose to love us. He gave His life for us. We get selfish with our life. I'm preaching to myself. We get selfish with our life. But we need to give out the love of God. We need to give away our life. Is that how we love others? Or is our love based on how good that person is to us? If they're good enough, we'll love them. You know, Jesus, at the Last Supper, can you imagine what that was like? Now, He only had a short time on earth. And he only had short time with the disciples, and they didn't get it all. They were arguing at the Last Supper who was the greatest, right? He's going, ugh. Carnality exists with human beings. That's just a fact of life. So Jesus is at the Last Supper, and Judas is still there, and he says, one of you is going to betray me tonight. And they didn't know it was Judas. That says something about Jesus, right? The way he treated Judas. They didn't know it was Judas. Jesus knew it was Judas all along. One of you is going to betray me. So then, you know, he dips in the sop. Let's go to John 13, verse 27. I want to just read this here. I think this is important. At this critical time, right when he's dealing with the betrayal issue, he knows this is the Last Supper, it's the last night he's going to be taken. John 13, 27, and after the sop, so Judas took the sop. Jesus said the one that takes the sop, he's the one. He's told John, right, the disciple. So Satan entered into him. And then Jesus said to him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now, that's a big deal right there. I don't know if you realize it. He told Judas, I know what you're going to do. Just do it. Now, Judas, he must have been a little surprised by that. There was no resistance. Right? He had to feel a little bit at risk. I'm going to be exposed any moment. Jesus is going to tell the other disciples to sic him, you know. But no. That thou doest, do quickly. He didn't even expose him. Really. He exposed only to him. I know. Just do it. I believe that was a big deal. And no man at the table knew for what intent he spake into this. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto me, buy those things which we have need against the feast, or that he should go give something to the poor. Because Jesus must have done that regularly with Judas. Go give something to the poor. And that he should give something to the poor. Then he then, having received the sop, went out immediately, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now he's got all his disciples there. Judas is gone. Now is the Son of Man glorified. Why? He let go. He didn't resist his own death. Don't tell me it wasn't hard, because he is in agony in Gethsemane. Father, let this cup pass. It was hard for him to give up his life. It's hard for you and I to give up and to yield our life. So now is the Son of Man glorified, and God has glorified him. And if God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children. He looked at them like little children, right? The fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the power of God, the Spirit of God in flesh. Jesus is our God. Amen. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Look where he went. Look at the subject that was important to him. I want you to love one another. But it wasn't just any kind of love. Look at the sentence there in the Bible, that you love one another. My Bible has a little semicolon. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love, this kind of love, one to another. See, it's going to be a rare love. There's human love out there. There's human emotion. Hollywood could produce all kinds of emotion. But the love of God, the unselfish, unconditional love of God, is the greatest force in the universe. And it's so great and powerful, but it looks so humble, just like our God. I can't see him. Where's God? But he's here, and he's in control. That you love one another as I have loved you. He qualified the statement. He put a qualifier, not just any kind of love, not just human love, but as I love you. How did he love them? He loved them to the end. He gave his life for them. He forgave. While he was on the cross, while he was hanging there, the guys that put the nails in him, he forgave them. Forgive them, Father. For they know not what they do. You know, we can use that. We can forgive because people don't know what they're doing. People are out of their mind. They're caught up into other spirits. They're caught up into the worldly movement. The masses are going the wrong way. Forgive them, Father. For they know not what they do. Even when they hurt you and insult you, forgive them. When your closest loved ones say something mean to you, forgive them. They know not what they do. Forgive. That is love. That's God's love. Taking the hit. Jesus took the hit. Somebody had to take the hit. If he didn't take the hit on Calvary, we would have had to. But he took our place. He took the penalty of sin so we could have life. And when he lives in us, he'll do the same thing through you. He'll take the hit when you didn't. It's not your fault. But you'll find a spirit moving you to say, I'll take the hit. It ends here. You know, the devil just wants to escalate arguments, you know, and debate. But Jesus just says, I'll take the hit. And it ends right there. Doesn't go any further. You're wrong. No, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. And it escalates and the devil just goes, got him. Got him. How can they pray with confidence now? How can they do anything now? They certainly can't love. They don't know what that means. Because if they did, they would stop. Say, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. But you don't mean that you're wrong. No, I do. I'm wrong. You don't look sincere. What is that? The devil wants to keep fighting. He loves that. Why do we feed that? Let's cut the devil off and say, you know what? I love you. I'm sorry. I just don't. It's over. I'll take the hit. Oh, Lord, let that spirit have preeminence. May we be a group of people filled with the love of God. May the Holy Spirit have such preeminence in us that his love reigns in us. That's the kind of people I want to be around. Amen. I'm over time, right? I got to leave, right? Do you got a few minutes for me? Oh, Lord, give us that. Let us increase more and more in that kind of love. Where is that love of God? Where is that person with that love? Where is that person filled with mercy, filled with grace? Their words are edifying. Their words don't tear down, but they build up. They put faith and encouragement in people. That's Jesus. Praise the Lord. Don't we realize that if we judge others, we shall be judged as we're judged? I don't know about you. I want mercy. You know, sometimes our mind wants to judge and then something goes, wait a minute, I'm wrong too. I'm wrong most of my life wrong. Why do I want to put judgment on somebody? Why do I don't want to be hard on somebody? The hardness around the message of the hour scares me. That the love of God has been withdrawn from the people. Where is the love of God? Where is the mercy of God? It should be our goal, your goal, my goal. Lord, let that live in me. Let that unconditional love, that mercy, that grace, your spirit having preeminence, that sweetness. Lord, fill me with the sweetness of the Holy Ghost. We need that atmosphere. That atmosphere is what brings the results. The sweet love of God. No selfishness there. All self is gone. All wrong motives are gone. It brings a soberness to your mind. It brings your bodies into subjection. Can I read that first part of Thessalonians? Now, not in a way of legalism, but in the way of love. See, when you read the Bible, do you realize you can read the Bible under different anointings? And if you read the Word of God under the wrong anointing, you're going to get the wrong thing out of it. But we're going to read this now under the love of God. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. He wants to clean us. He is cleaning us. By His word. By the washing of the water of the word. Even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Fornication. See, all that evil sexual things. See? Abstain from that. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Listen, this world is filled with lust. It's corrupted by lust. Children of God, rise above it. That is not the love of God. That is fleshly lust, tears down. It's selfish. It's not for us. We are called to something higher. Amen. Verse 6, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. You know, when you're in love, you don't even think about that. You won't defraud your brother, right? Because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. Now think about this. Somebody is out of their mind if they think they're going to get away with defrauding somebody else. A Christian knows, they don't even think like that. How could somebody do that? Don't they realize God's watching everything? You don't get away with anything. If we sow bad seed, we'll reap what we sow. God is not mocked. So a Christian doesn't even think like that. I don't want to defraud anybody. We go out of our way not to defraud people. Right? And people are surprised. Oh, well, you know, yeah, okay, whatever. Praise the Lord. For God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. Holiness. You know, there is a holiness that isn't self-righteousness. And you know how we get there? We walk with Him. Because when you walk with Jesus, you become more like Him. When you invite His Spirit to come into you, and you yield to that Spirit, He leads you in a way of holiness. His way. Not which is so much around the church as a self-righteous holiness, which I think He despises. See, we have not our own righteousness. He is our righteousness. He is our holiness. Amen? Amen? But we're called not to uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye have no need that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia, and we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet. Need more study in that area. Some people more than others need to study to be quiet. And to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have the lack of nothing. This is so practical. This is life. The Holy Ghost teaches us how to live every day. Amen. Praise God. Now, I want to finish up, but can I just read a few things Brother Branham said? Because they were so... Okay, thanks. Thank you, Brother Ed. All right, praise the Lord. Brother, he gives some secrets, and I'm finishing with this. I'm really finishing. He says, I just like to tell you what my secret of the greatest... How would you like me tonight to tell you what I think the greatest, most powerful force on the earth is? Would you like me to tell you for a few minutes? You might not love me so well, but I'll tell you all. The mightiest force there is on earth is love. There is nothing that will break down love, no matter what it is, whatever you are, or what you might have sang, you might have danced in the Spirit, you might have spoken tongues, you might have shook the elders' hands, you might have been baptized three times this way, backwards, forward, any way you want to, but until love anchors in your heart, you're still out of God. That's right. You've got to have love. The Bible said God is love, and God is strong. The love is the strongest force. And he says there's two kinds of love, filio and agape love is divine love. Filio love, when you have love, a mother will have for her baby, will run right into the flaming fire to save her baby. It'll make a man lay down his life for his sweetheart. Filial love. That's just human love. See? I tell you, church members, I'll tell you what to do, church members. Now, there's some of different denominations here. That's neither pro nor con. You do this. If you want to be a real outstanding person in your church, wherever you go to church, you just fall in love with God with all your heart. And when you do that, you will fall in love with every member of your church and every member of everybody else's church with all your heart. That doesn't leave anybody out. Really. Now, you can't bluff that. There's something about people that they know. And if there's anything I can attribute to the success of my meetings, and Brother Branham had divine healing and miracles and supernatural and signs and wonders and many miracles happen, right? If there's anything I can to the success of my meetings is to know that people have a conscience to know that I truly love people. He says, they knew I loved them. That's the success. When you're dealing with a sinner on the street, I said, you may, don't try to win an argument. Let him know in the spirit you love him. Let your spirit bear witness that you love them and want the best for them. That's more important than winning a technical argument. God help us. Finally, this last little quote. He said, let me give you a speck of light. How would you like a speck of light? Why don't you all stand? I know you've been sitting a long time. He went, Brother Branham, a prophet of God, vindicated signs and wonders and miracles, visions vindicated by God. He said he wants to give us a speck of light. You are a creator yourself. A miniature creator. Listen, did you ever see people... Now, don't take this the wrong way, okay? Did you ever see people that was nice people, though you couldn't be around them hardly, something about them you just couldn't stand? I didn't say that. Brother Branham said that. Did you ever see people that you just love to be around? Did you ever see them kind of people? That's the atmosphere they create themselves. And Brother Branham's talking about we are all creators. We create an atmosphere. See, what you're thinking about, what you're dwelling on, what your spirit, where your spirit is, it's creating an atmosphere around you. And if we pull in the love of God, right? And let me tell you, my dear friends, the greatest thing there is this side of heaven is love, divine love, God's love. You read in the book about the maniac run to the platform to kill me that night. I didn't hate the man. I loved him. Now, if there's a maniac running to the platform, how could he love the man that was going to kill him? God. Only God can do that. Just like the bull. He loved the bull that was charging at him in the field. How could he do it? God. He said when he got outside the field, his legs started shaking. See, because the Spirit of God came on him. He loved the bull and said, I'm sorry. Go sit down there. And the bull stopped and went and sat down. The bull had just killed somebody last week. Amen.
Amen.
He runs into the bees. The bees are swarming around. And he says, I'm sorry, bees. How often do you talk to the bees? I just sprayed a wasp nest with killer poison the other day because I don't like bees. All right? So he spoke to the bees and they were around him. He would have been stung and hurt bad. And they went back into the nest. Do you believe that?
Amen.
I believe it. Okay? So, it was love that did it. Love is the mightiest force there is. Even filial love will make a mother jump through a fire, grab her baby. And then he tells the story. And I'm going to tell the story, even though we've been here a long time, because we're finishing, right? Think of the woman one time standing there, a young girl, been away to college, and she come back. And when she did, she was standing out at the train station. And the train pulled in and everyone was yelling, hurrah. And she brought her little girl, Snickle Fritz girlfriend, with her from school. So the young girl bringing her friend back from school. Brother Bam called her Snickle Fritz. And the mother was standing there. And the little Snickle Fritz girl said, hey, who is that horrible looking wretch there? Look at the way she looks. And the girl, being a little smart aleck, when she learned, she was ashamed of her mother. And when she got off the platform, her mother said, darling, I'm so glad to see you. She turned her back and walked away because her friend had done that. And it happened to be the conductor knew the story. And he said, come here, girl. And he grabbed her by the arm, the shoulder, and said, you should be ashamed of yourself, denying your own mother. She said, I don't know her. And she said, Martha, is this your mother? And no, I don't know her. And the conductor, you should be ashamed. She said, look here, girl, I want to tell you something. The crowd began to listen. You're a beautiful woman today, that's right. You are. But said your mother was a lot more beautiful woman than you were or ever will be. And one day she was out in the backyard hanging the clothes. I lived on the same block. And the house caught fire. And you was a little baby upstairs in the crib. And when the fire engine came, the mother seen it stopped in front of her house, and the neighbors had called, and she went, but the stairs were ready to fall in. And that mother, not thinking for herself, she jumped through those blazes, and the fireman grabbing about her. She went through the blaze anyhow, and she run in there, and she grabbed you off the bed. She jerked her clothes, what she had, and she rolled around your face and things, and she braved the fire, blazed right out back too. And it burned her and scorched her and wilted her down. And today, you're pretty. Because you're pretty, she was made ugly. And you mean to tell me you'll deny that woman that saved your life and your beauty, that you're ashamed about because of your mother, that you do that? And Brother Branham says, when I heard the story, I thought, oh God, how could I, through that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, that I see that Christ became sin, that by his righteousness, I might become righteous. How much do I care if they call me a holy roller? How much do I care if they call me divine healer? Whatever they want, he came down and was made ugly and sinful, that by his righteousness, I might have a home in heaven and be called the Son of the living God. He became me that I, by his grace, might become him. He taken my place as a sinner, as me, a sinner, might take his righteousness. How could we deny him?
True.
Create around you love. What could deny this great love. Listen for a moment what love is. Love will conquer. Where hate and malice and creed and debate and fuss will drive away, love will conquer.
Let's bow our heads.
Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, we've spoken things too wonderful for us, Lord. Lord, I know in my heart we need the love of God more than anything, Lord. Lord, we want you. We invite you. I invite you to live in us, Lord. I invite you to take control of our being, Lord Jesus. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. Baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire. And may your love, the real love of God, have preeminence in us people, Lord. By this shall all men know that we are your disciples when we have love one for another. Bless each one here, Lord. Lord, forgive us where we failed you. Forgive us where we've been selfish. And Lord, just forgive us, O God. Lord, I think of Reese today. His daughter's gone. He can't hold her. He can't talk to her. Oh, God, send your spirit to comfort him and his family. Lord, I don't understand why. But we trust you, Lord. And we'll continue to trust you. We just ask you to have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy on Reese and his wife and his children. Oh, God, help us to do your will in this life. Our time here is so short. Bless each and every one today, Lord. I ask that you fill us all with the love of God. May we increase more and more. Bless each one today. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for bearing with me today. Sorry to take so long. Oh, God, help us. Let's sing the love of God. How rich and pure. Number 93 in the songbooks are the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. To win his erring child, he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When hoary time shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, upon rocks and hills and mountains call. God's love so sure shall still endure all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every star on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain a whole.